Hey guys, let's pray. Lord, I thank you for Regen, and I thank you for Watermark, but mostly I thank you for sending your son and saving a sinner like me. And I just pray that tonight that would be evident. It's in your name we pray, amen. Amen. Hey guys, I'm Sydney. I have a new life in Christ, and I'm recovering from people pleasing. I grew up in a home with two parents that loved the Lord. When I was 6 years old, my Sunday school teacher shared the gospel with our class, explaining that God sent his only son, Jesus, to live a perfect life on earth, die on the cross on our behalf, and then rise again, conquering sin and death. She explained that if you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you'll be saved. And my little heart grasped that as much as you can when you're six, and I trusted in Christ that Sunday morning. My childhood years weren't marked by anything tragic or out of the ordinary. And for the most part, I didn't have any external or visible sin struggles. I made good grades, followed the rules, tried to be helpful, everything you might expect from the stereotypical firstborn child that I was. And I got praised for it. So while nobody ever told me the lie that love and acceptance was based on my performance, I started believing it and subconsciously applying it to most facets of my life. So when I began struggling with masturbation at an early age, I vowed I would never tell anyone. I knew truth, and I could have explained the concept of grace to you, that I'm loved and that salvation is a gift because of the goodness and unmerited favor of God. But Satan used shame to keep me in the dark and fearful of what people would think of me. I believed that everyone I'd worked so hard to please would think I was disgusting, that I was a failure, that I was dirty. It wasn't discussed in any of the Christian communities I was in, so I began to believe the lie that my sin was unique and that because I struggled in that way, I was a failure and I was unlovable. In spite of the fact that I was walking with the Lord and seeking to know him more, I would struggle with this in silence for 10 years. In college, I crossed paths with some godly women who shared their similar struggle, and for the first time, I didn't feel so isolated. I was given the gift of being able to say, "Me too," and the Lord began redeeming that struggle. People-pleasing also reared its head in other ways, particularly in the way that I viewed relationships. I felt this unexplainable need to love other people well. I rarely, if ever, expressed that I had a need, but I was one of the first people to jump in and love on people when they were hurting. My identity was derived completely from my ability to do this. I didn't realize it at the time, but instead of loving people freely and meeting them where they were, I viewed relationships as investments. I felt I needed to earn people's love, but felt isolated and alone when my expectations of others weren't met. Unstated and unrealistic, these expectations led to isolation and continued feelings of pride. My friends didn't know the real me, and I felt like I couldn't share my struggles for fear that I would be a burden to them. The isolation only perpetuated those struggles. When I moved to Dallas in the summer of 2015, I jumped into community and experienced women sharing their struggles authentically in a way that I hadn't before. Many of them had walked through regeneration, and while they by no means had all their ducks in a row, they all seemed to have a better understanding and awareness of their struggles. By that point in my life, I was walking daily with Christ and growing in my relationship with him, but I had a very difficult time identifying and articulating my hurts, habits, and hang-ups. I knew of some obvious struggles, both current and past, but couldn't tell you what the roots were and how everything was all connected. I was ignorant to just how pervasive pride was in my life. I wanted to work through the Regen curriculum to better understand those struggles and see how they impacted my relationships, both with God and others. I felt confident that the first three steps would be a breeze for me. As someone who had grown up in the church, I should know what I believe and trust God, right? Wrong. Turns out years of ingrained teaching made my responses rote and automatic. I was putting down what I knew was the correct answer, the church answer, the answer that would please others, and not what I truly believed. Fighting for honesty and humility was difficult. Step four, inventory, brought such freedom for me. If you stick around here long enough, you'll realize inventory is kind of polarizing. You either hate it or love it. I fell into the love category. For me, being able to write down and begin to understand some of the patterns and roots of my sins was incredible. For the first time, I was able to understand and articulate that my years of struggling with masturbation and my fear of being a burden to others greatly caused my insecurity, and that insecurity manifested itself in several different ways: pride, people-pleasing, and a desire for control. Reading my inventory was also a tool that brought freedom. For the first time, someone knew all my junk, literally all of it, and they still accepted me. That's revolutionary for a chronic people pleaser who doesn't like to let others in. Of all the steps, though, forgiveness rocked my world. Though I had grown up in the church, I had never been taught what the biblical view of forgiveness, amends, and reconciliation was. For the first time, I understood that forgiveness isn't something you do to check a box or to please others. It's between me and God, a transfer of justice to God through Christ, and that through this process, I can be free to love others rather than to seek vengeance or to be enslaved to sin's power. I've experienced freedom in ways I could have never imagined as I've worked through the process of forgiveness and been forgiven by others that I've hurt. Isaiah 30 is a passage that has resonated with me over the years. It says, "Because you despise this word and trust in oppression and perverseness and rely on them, therefore this sin shall be to you like a breach in a high wall, bulging out and about to collapse, whose breaking comes suddenly in an instant." It's pretty bleak. But then it continues. "Therefore the Lord waits to be gracious to you, and therefore he exalts himself to show mercy to you." That was me, about to break, unable to do it on my own and caring more about the approval of man than seeking to honor the one who loves me more than I'll ever comprehend. But the Lord patiently waited for me. Regeneration is one of the tools that the Lord used to show me his grace and break the cycle of sin in my life. Make no mistake, life doesn't magically fall into place after regeneration, but I'm continually amazed at how the Lord is able to use what I learned from this curriculum as I continue through this journey that he's called me to. Tonight, a group of women I have come to love very dearly are commencing from this program. As I've walked through the curriculum with them, with Kendall as my co-leader, the Lord has pursued my heart through this program all over again. Romans 3:23 says, "For all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God." That means that every single person in this room, the women in my group commencing tonight, all you first-time guests, the people who've been coming to this program for 5 years, we all need Jesus desperately, regardless of what the world or our own pride may say about our stories. So if what I've shared tonight resonates with you, praise the Lord. I've experienced the power and freedom that comes from being able to say, "Me too," and I'm grateful that you can as well. You aren't alone, and the Lord can use this curriculum in a mighty way if you'll let him. And if my story isn't the road you've walked, you're in the right place too. The beauty of this is that we are all broken. We all fall short, and we're all loved by a King who promises eternal life and loves us enough to redeem our stories as we live out our days on this earth. Hi, my name is Sydney. I have a new life in Christ, and I'm recovering from people pleasing. All praise and honor to the one who has redeemed this broken life for his glory.